Hey, this is John Peters. I'm a game designer, and you're listening to Guildcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to this 19th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
What? I can't hear. No, I'm good. How are you?
I cannot hear either. That's the problem. This is going to be an interesting show. I went to a concert last night, and I did not wear earplugs, and all I hear is ringing and kind of this muffled voice in my headphones, and I think that's Ruby. So I'm going to just, whatever she says, you guys tell me if she says anything bad about me, because I won't know.
Oh, you guys, I have a list. This is going to be awesome. Okay, so, but you have to tell what concert you went to, because this is so cool.
Well, I don't know if too many people would be interested in this, but it was a...
Well, I am.
It was a Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax show. This is the first time they've played together in 20 years, and it was basically like an anniversary show, and it was insane. Like, I was right at the front. Right in front of the speakers, and what's funny is I actually do have hearing damage from when I was younger. I used to go to these concerts all the time, and I used to play in a band, and I never wore earplugs, you know, because I knew better, you know, I was too smart to wear earplugs. And this is serious, but like when I'm in a quiet room, I hear ringing really loud, and it's just a constant ringing, and so like when I go to bed at night, I hear ringing and, you know, things like that. And so last night was probably not the greatest idea on 35-year-old ears, but I decided to do it anyway. And it was a lot of fun. It was really a blast, but I cannot hear anything right now. So it's going to be kind of interesting to edit this and to listen to you talking. So I'm going to let you take it. Like, this is going to be your show.
Woo.
And I will edit it, hopefully. And hopefully my hearing comes back, too.
I hope that your hearing comes back, too. You know, the whole ringing thing. You know, I paid your girlfriend to ring a bell all the time, right?
Oh.
Just to freak you out.
I see.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. So
that might help if you tell her I say she could stop now.
You know, I've actually heard that, I looked it up, and it says that tone you hear is, those are the cells of that tone that are dying. Like, so... If you
that
hear
is
that,
so depressing.
I know. So, like, if you hear that tone, it means that you will not hear that tone again in a couple days, because it'll be
so
gone.
So just enjoy it.
Yeah. So, but the constant thing, I think, is just a, like, severe damage. I've heard of, like, the lead singer in Metallica. He has that. It's just a constant ringing from damage.
So you're like him.
Exactly. I am exactly like him. That's
I know, right?
What I'm saying.
Okay, but it was totally worth it, right?
Yeah, it was insane. Anyone who's friends with me on Facebook, you can check out the pictures and video that I took.
Dude, the video, it's like just a wall of sound.
Yeah, it's, well, I did it with my iPhone, so it was just like...
Yeah. But the light show was pretty cool. I got a kick out of that. I mean, the rest of it was just complete distortion. So, you can't tell, though. So, while you were at a concert last night, the internet was exploding. This was interesting.
Yes, and this is going to be fun because you're going to tell me what went on.
I'm going to tell you how people freaked out in a completely unreasonable manner. Not that I'm biased.
Well, let's start with just what the blog post was about describing.
Let's just go there. This is from designer John Hargrove, who is somebody that I don't think we've heard a ton from before, but he's been around a little bit.
He's been around for a long time.
Yeah, he's been around for a while. He's not had a lot to say lately, but I'm excited to hear this from him. He is one of the primary designers for Guild Wars 2 in the items and reward system, is what he says. So he talked quite a bit about armor, primarily armor customization, and how loot is going to work. And I was really excited to hear about the loot. So can we start with the happy stuff? Is that cool?
Yes. Yeah. Definitely start with the happy stuff.
Okay. I was like, I just asked you if you wore dresses, and you said yes because you couldn't hear me.
What?
All right, so... Lute, I'm really liking the way this is going to work. He did kind of slip in a confirmation of, like, crafting and mining nodes. He mentioned a copper node. And I actually kind of like how he said this. He said, you know, if you're trying to clear the monsters around a node that you're after, you can take your time ripping off that bear's head. Because nobody can walk up and steal that copper node in the back of its cave from you. So these are, what this made me think of are treasure bags in DDO. If a treasure bag drops when you kill an enemy, you go pick it up and it's gone for you. It's still there for everybody else in your group. And I really like that. And I just remember in DDO, I didn't understand that at first. And I was running around, we were doing this a horrible thing with like billions of kobolds. And I was picking up a few treasure bags here and there, and then I stopped and I told the rest of my group, okay, you guys, I picked up a lot of these bags. You guys can, you know, have the rest. I don't want to be greedy. And they're all kind of looking at me like, you know, it doesn't work like that, right? So, and then I ran around. It was like this giant loot fest and I was so happy. but that's how it's going to work here. Once you take that node, it's gone for you. But anybody else hanging around, if they want it, they can all have a whack at it, too.
That's cool. I really like that. That's something that a few other games do. I've been playing Vindictus a lot, Nexon's newest game. It's in beta. And they have something like that. You know, whenever something is dropped, it's basically there for everyone. Although, it's not the exact same thing for everyone, but there is a node there that everyone can take, and I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that, and this was kind of a player concern when we first heard about dynamic events and how this was going to work. Mm-hmm. People were asking, you know, what about ninja looting? What about running in there doing this, going through this whole need versus greed mess? Mm-hmm. How are you guys going to address that? So I really liked hearing how this was going to work. And everybody gets the same role, is how he described it. If you're fighting a monster, if you participate, you get a role. Your loot, it's not, okay, it drops this one weapon, and it's assigned to this person. And I like that system in Guild Wars, where you're not fighting over it, it just drops and it's assigned. I like that if you participate in these dynamic events and you kill something, everybody gets an equal role, so it might drop, you know, it's not going to give you less of a shot if someone comes in and helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in most games they call that round robin, mm-hmm. where... you know, that's just distributed kind of randomly. And I think Guild Wars 1 has just always had that. You know, they never went for the other types of loot dropping. So it's good to know that they're checking these out and kind of seeing, you know, what else players like, you know, because there are so many different types of loot drops.
Oh, absolutely. The end chest in the dungeons works the same way. You open it up, and again, this made me think of DDO. You open it up, everybody gets to individually open it, and you've got your own loot assigned to you. So all of this comes together and really encourages everybody to play together rather than working against one another in this competition for the good loot. Now, the other thing in dungeons, and this is what excited me so much because I'm such an armor fanatic, and I'm just going to have to quote John directly at this because this is so cool. Presently, each of our dungeons has, at a bare minimum, one complete visually unique reward set that includes a full set of light armor, a full set of medium armor, a full set of heavy armor, as well as an entire set of weaponry that is unique to that dungeon.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh my gosh, I have to do every dungeon ever. This is so cool.
Will it be like with a lot of other games? I mean, I think Lotro is kind of like this too, where a lot of other games, they offer you the different choices, but then the ones that you can't use are actually, you know, red or grayed out or something. So I wonder if they're going to do that so that you actually have to have a character who can use that armor to be able to use it, or if you can pick any of it and then give it to your alts or whatever. I don't know.
See, I'm completely curious about this. My original thought is that, and I have to preface this by saying I don't know how any of this works on the technical side. My original thought is that the game says, all right, you're a warrior, therefore here's your heavy armor.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it just says, you know, here, light, medium, and heavy armor, pick the one that you want to use.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't know if it would be to where, I mean, it seems like they already have it set up to where, you know, I mean, you have Ellies with swords, you know, and it seems like there would be a much broader spectrum of what classes can use. So I wonder if not only will you anybody be able to pick up anything, but also you'll be able to, you know, pick it up and trade it, because that's a big thing too. You know, in a lot of other games, you know, World of Warcraft type games, they have things that can't be traded to other players.
Now, what I do wonder about this, given the way, I mean, you know how armor works in Guild Wars, it's made for you. I can't go give you my discarded armor and
customize,
because it's not going to do you any good. And I wonder if this stuff is going to be some sort of bind on acquire, something that once you pick it up, you're done. You can't trade it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I don't. There's. It brings so many questions, and I want to know. I need to know more because I love armor and I want all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. But for the time being, I'm very, very excited to know that every dungeon is going to have all of these unique sets. Mm-hmm. And what he said was you can literally play in any given dungeon until you come out as an entirely different looking character.
That's cool.
That is so awesome.
Plus, the images, the screenshots that he had in there from the concept art and all that, those are some cool-looking stuff. Like that one that was like, it had cyan around it, like kind of a bluish green, you know what I mean?
Oh, the weapons?
Yeah, the whole set.
The set. Now, I am pretty sure that is the Ghostly Ascalon set. I'm probably getting the name a little bit wrong. But it glows like that at night. It looks normal during the day,
yeah.
And when you hit a night cycle,
it
starts glowing. And if I'm not mistaken, it is life-stealing.
Oh.
I know. I love it so much. So, and, of course, I zoomed right in on the staff. I was like, oh, yeah, I got to have that. So they are absolutely beautiful.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what else was in this blog post?
Oh, boy. Transmutation stones. Oh, my gosh. This is why the internet blew up last night. The transmutation stones, here's the basic concept. You can have some armor over here, and you've got great stats on this armor. You've got it all. You've got the crests in there. You've got everything that you want, right? Mm-hmm. But then you find this armor over here, and the stats aren't so great, but oh my gosh, it's beautiful, and you have to have it. You can go to the cash shop, and in-game store, I'm calling it a cash shop, and that's wrong. You can go to the in-game store, and yes, this is a real money transaction, and you can buy a transmutation stone. What this does is this takes your armor with the good stats and gives it the appearance of this really cool-looking set that you picked up.
Hmm.
So you can have your good stats, and you can have it look the right way.
Any Runes of Magic players out there know exactly what this is. I think they actually call it transmutation, too. It's the exact same thing. I always like that mechanic. I think it's really great because I am a big fan of being able to keep the looks of something and the stats of something else, you know, with either armor or weapons. I think that's a really great idea. But the problem here was the fact that they said it was the done through the store, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, what are people saying about this? I imagine they're going nuts over it.
Because we have to pay money.
Yeah.
And now, see, I'm trying so hard not to just completely rant here, because it's not that I'm a big fangirl, even though I am, but that doesn't have enough bearing on this to make it matter. I've always been a fan of microtransactions, and to me, purely cosmetic items are the heart of what an in-game store should be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan. Honestly, I've not been a huge fan of the skill unlock packs in the store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like it gives more of a gameplay advantage that I'm comfortable with from my vision of an in-game store. So that kind of thing I'm not a fan of. Purely cosmetic items, this transmutation stones, these are exactly what I feel like you want to see in a cash shop. I have got to stop calling it that. In an in-game store. But the absolute, and, you know, I laughed because I don't know if this had it, if this is why or not, but this morning the Guild Wars 2 Guru site was down a couple times. I mean, the whole site completely crashed. And I was like, okay, so these people actually, like, broke the site with their outrage.
Very possible.
There was a forum thread about this. Guild Wars 2 Guru has a news, interviews, and articles section that is, I've said this so many times before, it is absolutely the most well-maintained forum sub-forum that I've seen ever in the Guild Wars 2 community. So, of course, this was up right away. It is, I'm actually looking now because it is still just going completely crazy. It's at 600, almost 600 responses right now.
Wow.
It's a 30-page thread, and there were some good suggestions, but the dominant emotion was just complete outrage that ArenaNet wants you to spend money on something.
So, you think ArenaNet's going to change this? I mean, you said that a few devs were actually responded in the thread, right?
They were, and they were really just trying to explain what this was about. I don't see ArenaNet changing this. If they are smart, they will not, because again, this to me is the purest form of what a cash shop should be. Hmm. Seriously, I keep calling it in-game store. It is their in-game store, is what it's called. Uh-huh. But what got me, the speculation and the provocative wording that people were using, I mean, so many of these people were just whipping themselves into a frenzy. I saw one person say that they felt like, well, obviously, it sounds like a credit card company is running ArenaNet now, because, you know, rather than an honest upfront subscription where you know what you're getting, they have to try to sneak in these hidden charges and hide the information in one sentence in a blog post.
Hmm.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? It was right there.
Yeah.
It's not a big secret.
Yeah, I mean, they've done this stuff before, you know, costumes, gender changes, hairstyles, all that stuff. I mean, buying storage.
Yeah, it's just part of it. Several people called them greedy. And to me, greed, I think you know how I feel about that kind of thing. If you've got a sub plus a box price plus a cash shop, mm-hmm. that's bordering on greed to me. That's a little bit much.
Yeah.
But I think this game, you buy it and you pay for your box and you're done, or you pay for your download, whichever, and you're done. And I really hope that a cash shop is not a surprise to anybody. But people were speculating. Some people were saying, you know, well, the low-level armor will probably be really ugly to quote-unquote encourage you to go buy transmutation stones, or it's probably going to cost $10 for one transmutation stone and then it'll never be used again. Or I can't think what else. It was just all this speculation on here's what will probably happen. And these people were getting so angry over something that we don't even know yet.
Yeah. That's, I think they call that the internet when that happens.
It is, and that's, this morning I kept reminding myself, I was like, welcome to the internet. You know, people yeah. are whipping themselves into a frenzy over nothing.
Yeah, I think, you know, I can see either way here. Of course, I realize, you know, a lot of times people started playing Guild Wars because they didn't want to pay money, you know, a bunch of money. I fall into that category. You know, that's one of the reasons I got into Guild Wars originally 5 years ago, is because I, you know, I saw the game and I said, oh, cool, no subscription fee. That was the thing holding me back before. You know, I didn't want to pay $15 a month for something because that's ridiculous. So a lot of people got into that. Then they would have the expansions and people would be like, okay, it's, you know, it's enough content to be another game. I'll just consider it another game and I'll go ahead and buy it. But if they're going to have something, you know, kind of nickel and dime us, I can understand why people would be like, well, why don't we just pay a subscription? It'd be the same thing because we're still spending, you know, if something is $10 here, $10 there, right there, you just spent more than the subscription. So I can see that side of it. But at the same time, this was certainly not a secret. You know, this was not a surprise. It's not hidden. I don't think ArenaNet, you know, you look at this game, and you look at how passionate they are, and this sounds like a total fanboy rant, but...
Did you just hear anything I said?
Well, yeah, but it's, I mean, we know that they're making this game because they love, you know, for the love of the game, and they love their players and things like that. These are things we hear all the time, but the second they introduce anything that's any type of a business plan, you know, other than just a straight subscription or the expansion packs, which they admit didn't work, then people start calling them greedy. And I think that that's quite unfair, you know. I've said this on our other podcast we do, Massively Speaking, that it seems like we're at kind of a experimental time still for business plans. And, you know, while ArenaNet invented something pretty spectacular with the original Guild Wars, they, like I said, they admit it didn't really work that well. You know, it wasn't really paying the bills, I guess you could say. So they're trying something else, you know, and this is actually, they're not inventing this one. This has been done before, but they're, you know, using it the best it can be done. And I think that using it for non-game, game-breaking, you know, mechanics is the best thing, you know, outfits and cosmetic stuff, definitely.
Well, and that was something, two things here really stood out to me as well. Somebody said, you know, ArenaNet is, they're forcing us, and I always hate that word when they're talking about a game company. Yeah. They're forcing us to pay in the cash shop if we want the look that, if we want this look in the armor. Well, I guess you can put it that way. If you want this cosmetic upgrade, it's available for a price.
Yeah, you can't say force and you can't say the word force and the words if and want in the same sentence because it just doesn't work that way.
You are correct.
But I think it's one of those things, kind of like in other games where they say you can play for free, but you have to do this dungeon 400 times to get, you know, enough coins to pay. You know what I mean? It's like there are a lot of times when it's like people are saying, like, you can do this, but we know it's literally impossible. I think it's the same thing with cosmetic items. They say, well, you can play without the cosmetic items, but to be honest, we all know that's why a lot of people play these games. You know, that's the reason we play with other people around us, because we want achievements to show off. We want clothes to show off. We want, you know, cosmetic stuff to show off. And I think that you can't really act like you don't realize, you know, people can't really act like they don't realize that that's how it goes. Mm-hmm. And I know that game companies, when they sell cosmetic items and say, well, you don't really need it, they all know that...
that you want it.
Yet you want it. And that want is a lot more than need. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you could sit there and not play through the storyline, which would be considered a need to finish the game or, you know, get to end game. But you do need that, you know, that extra special tier 16,000 armor set. You know,
I really think want is a lot more powerful than need.
Exactly,
that's
what I mean.
It's a much more powerful
incentive. Exactly, yeah. So I think that that's basically what I'm saying, is that, you know, why you, there's that difference between want and need, and we could argue that all day long, and we're not really fooling anyone, and, you know, we know that that cosmetic items are pretty powerful, and that that's a big part of a business plan to charge for that kind of stuff.
You know, here is, I've actually been sitting here thinking about this while we were talking. It disappointed me, and I want to say that it made me a little angry, how quick everyone was to turn on ArenaNet.
Yes.
I saw the word fail so many times, and I've just been looking back over the past year. Look at the character customization we have been given. Look at Kristen Perry's die system. We have 5 races to play, and it's all part of the one-time pay package. I'm looking at Dungeons & Dragons Online, and you know I love DDO, but I'm going to have to use it as an example of the opposite here. There are races available that you cannot play unless you pay. You can buy these races with physical, real-world money.
Well,
we've been given all 5. We've got 5 playable races in Guild Wars 2. For a year now, we have been given all of this information, all of these huge, exciting things, and they're all part of the package. This is the first time we have been introduced to a confirmed in-game store item. And everybody, I mean, it was like torches and pitchforks.
Well, now you see why they waited, right?
But they shouldn't have to, is my point. And that might be, I don't know, I don't even feel like that's me fangirling out. Because one person even said, to make the point of how awful this was, they said, you know, we've been showed all these wonderful free things. We've gotten so many wonderful free things, and then you hit us with a pay item. And I'm like, you know, you made a point, but I don't think it's the one you were trying to make. Mm-hmm. Here are 50 free things and 1 pay thing, and everybody just completely freaks out over the 1 pay thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know how they expect ArenaNet to make money.
Yeah, that's always the thing, is it's always like, you know, give us, give us, give us, and give me, give me, give me. And then when it's like, hey, you know that game you're playing for 10 hours a day? Can we have a little bit of money for that? And then you're like, what? No.
Outrageous.
Never. Yeah. I don't know. This is such a touchy subject, you know what I mean? And different games do it differently. And I think it's all, there's so many different factors. You know, how much they charge, what exactly they charge for. Communication with the player base is huge. You know, remember the whole Allods debacle? I mean, they one day they just decided to spring it on their players during beta that they're going to charge just astronomical amounts of money for cosmetic items. Well, if you go down the checklist there, okay, they have cosmetic items, check, that's fine. But the money, you know, the cost and the communication with players just wasn't there. So if, I mean, it sounds like so far ArenaNet's been doing this, but then, you know, they bring this out in as a part of something else bigger, and I think that's maybe where people had some issues with it and saying that it's, you know, like they were hiding it or whatever. But
which just made my head explode.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think that it's just one of those things. We'll see how they do. I don't really see them changing anything, you know.
If they're smart, they won't.
Yeah. And I'd like to see them not change, just because I'm not a big fan of hearing... I don't know. It is good to change according to what your customers want, but at the same time, it's not good to change every time your customer wants something, mm-hmm. you know, every little change.
Well, that gets into trying to please everyone and pleasing no one.
Yeah, diplomacy is it's dangerous. So I guess we kind of get your thoughts. We have your thoughts on this whole thing. I mean, do you see yourself, once this releases, let's say there are more things to buy in this in-game store, I mean, do you see yourself spending money regularly in the store?
Easily. Absolutely.
But I mean, do you think you would pay more than you would if it was a subscription? Like more than $15 a month?
It depends on what there is. I have purchased every costume. I've purchased every costume that's shown up in the in-game store. I can see me, and this is just because I've got the preference for cool-looking armor, I can see me picking up some transmutation stones.
Mm-hmm.
I will probably be a big fan of cosmetic items. I can see me spending about half of what I'd pay in a sub. Mm-hmm. And that's just because, I mean, you know me, I watch my gaming expenditures very, very, very closely. Mm-hmm. Guild Wars costumes are probably, those are probably my biggest gaming expense in the past year. So I will be lining up with my credit card.
See, now I'd like to know from our readers in the comments section or something, I definitely want to hear more responses about this. You know, what would you buy? Do you think you would spend more than the sub fee, than a normal sub fee every month? And how do you feel about this whole thing? You know, it's such a touchy subject. It can literally turn an entire player base against a game so easily, as we can see here. You know, it went from we love ArenaNet to fail, fail, fail. You know, in what you said, 60 pages of threads or
well, there's a 31 page thread in the news forum. Mm-hmm. I'm actually kind of refreshing here to look. Because a couple of people were saying, oh, it's dying down, it's dying down. These threads are still going strong.
Yeah.
As of right now, in one discussion forum on Guild Wars 2 Guru, there's a 31-page thread. Hmm. And over here in the news forum, we are at 606 responses, also 31 pages. So 62 pages total of 99% back and forth about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking at this very last comment on this one thread, and it kind of summarizes what is irritating me about this whole thing. Someone said, how the stones are implemented seems a bit unfair. Of course we don't have details, but that's beside the point. Again, you just made the point, but I don't think it's the one that you were trying to make.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know what? I personally have no problem with this. And as far as the appearance of armor, my first thought was, you know what, in Guild Wars 1, if I could pay real cash and get, you know, that elementalist trainer in pre-searing up in the snowy area?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd pony up 15 for her armor in a heartbeat. I have always, always, always wanted that armor. They gave it to a stupid henchman in my guild hall.
Yeah. Actually, the NPCs have some pretty sweet armor. Like, the some of the House Sue Heltzer NPCs?
Yes.
Yeah, I get some of that. That'd be nice.
But see, I would, if I could have the stats on some of my armor, if I could have max stats and pay money for that armor, I'd do it in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
Well, ArenaNet, if you're listening, there's your, there's how you're going to fund your next game right there. Ruby Bear.
Yes. All right. But yeah, I'm with Sean. I want to hear from the listeners and see what they think. And please, someone explain to me why this is such an outrage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to hear, because I know that I'm usually pretty, I don't know, it's annoying to a lot of people, but I can see the good and bad on a lot of stuff, and I don't, you know, have a strong, like, violent opinion about this either way, because I can see, you know, I can see ArenaNet's point, and I can see the, I guess I tend to side a little bit more with ArenaNet on this one, and just kind of the way that they need to make money, you know, doing this, and they're not looking to buy mansions, they're just looking to pay for, you know, their their electric bill,
on,
you know?
And,
yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I can see both sides, but that's why I want to hear from other people. A lot of times, I'm always up for, you know, hearing the opinions of other people to kind of get my own eyes opened up to why you feel so strongly that way, you know, this way or that way. So, yeah, definitely leave it in the comments or email us. We can read it on the next show and hear your opinions.
Yeah. Now, I guess I should temper mine a little bit by saying I can understand not wanting to pay. I can understand saying, you know what, I bought this box. This is your business model. I bought this box. I don't want to pay any more money. This is why I play your game. Mm-hmm. But, all right, so don't pay any more money. It's a cosmetic item. You don't have to.
Yep. I tend to think there are sometimes, there are some people who, maybe they have a search filter on Google anytime Cash Shop or Item Shop or Free to Play comes up, they go to that thread and they just start screaming and yelling about how it's going to ruin their lives and the lives of everyone. Because we hear the same argument over and over again. You know, it's just supposed to be the worst thing ever. And if there's someone, I'm sure there's someone listening to this right now going, Sean, you don't understand. Like, this is the worst thing ever. Well, tell me, you know, explain to me why that is, because I don't really see that. But we do get that response a lot, you know what I mean? I mean, anytime this happens, it's just a violent response about how they can't believe that this is happening, that they're being forced to pay all this money and, you know, like, lose their house because of this game. And it's like, no one's forcing you to do anything, you know?
Yeah.
So, let us know.
Yes. Oh, and you know what? I have one more little thing that goes with this.
Mm-hmm.
This is the other thing that really, really made me crazy. If you are listening to me, if you can hear this right now, I never, ever want to see you put the letter E in the word ridiculous again.
Ridiculous?
Yes. Do not. There is no E in that word. I saw that in this thread, and it irritated me as much as everything else.
Oh, God.
Okay. So I was like, okay, you know what? I got to get that off my chest. So
no spelling errors.
Well, not that one. That's like, that is really, I think that's my most hated spelling error, and I kept seeing it. So, if you can hear me, there is no E in that word.
Yeah, that is pretty ridiculous.
I'm glad you can't hear what I just called you.
What?
Okay, so that, the internet blew up, and there's why. Tell us what you think.
Yep, exactly. So, let's, before we end the show, I wanted to go through over some emails that we received.
Yay.
If my Gmail ever loads. Oh, hey, there it is. And we have quite a few. I'd say a nice little dozen or so here. I want to go through and read some of these. And a lot of them are dealing with the last, you know, the discussion we had in the last show, of course. And this first one, I like this. It starts out, it says, Dear Ruby and Sean, are you kidding me? You think release won't be for like a year? I pray to the six gods you are wrong. Personally, I am in the camp that see release first quarter of 2011. I think this because recently the PR machine from ArenaNet has kicked into high gear, and speed seems to be pointing to a sooner rather than later release. I don't see ArenaNet waiting until some game convention to announce a release date. Finally, Ruby, on show 18, you mentioned Xandra is always in your party doing your healing. I personally have Livia doing the healing with Rit skills, and I'm wondering what would be better, and wonder if you would be willing to share your build for her.
Oh, I emailed this guy my Xandra's build.
Oh, okay, cool. Cool. Do you want to share a couple of the high points?
Yeah, actually, just for anybody else who was wondering, I think it's really a matter of preference. I prefer to take Xandra because... oh gosh, now I'm like looking for this email. I don't know. Livia is preferred sometimes because you've got the soul reaping bonus for energy. I prefer to put more in spawning power. I prefer Xandra's bonus in spawning power and channeling or commuting, depending on what you're using, for stronger spirits and stronger healing. So I think it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. Mm-hmm. I just chose to... go with Xandra because I wanted the extra attribute points, and I've got her ruined up for spawning power and channeling or commuting, again, depending on what I'm doing. She seems to do okay on energy, and I keep her out of battle, so she does pretty well. Plus, I got sick of everybody going on and on about Livia's assets.
Assets, yes.
Assets. I think it was actually you that said, I'm just waiting for that string to break.
Yeah, I think I did say that, like when it first came out.
You did, and I laughed at that so hard. So if if there's a guy in my party, he'll bring Livia, so we're all good anyway. Heck, he'll bring Livia to nuke, just whatever. So, that's awesome. But anyway, that's why I have Xandra. She runs a pretty similar Rit Necro build. She just kind of, just the reverse of what Livia does. So that's why.
Cool. And for the first point here, we actually got another email a little bit later, kind of talking more about this the release date speculation, because I think actually the second email is really interesting because it kind of breaks it down a lot more. But I still stick by what I said. I still think that it's going to be, we'll probably hear information on the book at PAX East, because remember, we still have two more books to go, and then we'll probably hear something about a release date, or maybe just beta date around PAX or Gamescom.
We got an email. Somebody said something about April 28th, 2011, and I could get on board with that. It makes sense.
Yeah, for the birthday? Mm-hmm. I guess that's possible. I just think that it's, I don't know. Maybe that'll be for a book or something like that. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. I just think it's still too early. Because that's only, if you think about it, April 1st from right now is 6 months away. That's not very long.
Not in game development years, no.
Yeah, so...
And then, I'm right there with you, man. Honestly, I'm impatient as the rest of us. But they're going to do it right, and we're going to have to wait, and that's okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, so this next email, it's titled, Who's the Boss? I guess that's because I said that last time. It says, Hi, Sean and Ruby. First off, I want to let you guys know that you are the best Guild Wars podcast out there, and I love Who's the Boss. Hey, who doesn't? You know what I mean? Here are some jokes. Yay, more jokes. How many Asuras does it take to change a light bulb? One, he holds a light bulb while the world revolves around him. Actually, I think I've heard that some form of that before. I forgot who it was in reference to, but I think I've heard that before.
Well, that's a good one, though. I like it.
Number two, how many Norns does it take to change a light bulb? I like this one. Answer, none. He makes the Savari do it. That's a good one.
That's great.
And that's from Tony. So
thank you, Tony.
He says, thanks, that's all I can think of.
Is that like Tony Danza?
Oh, yeah. Hey, that might be why he likes Who's the Boss.
Well, because he's the boss. Awesome jokes. Thank you, Tony.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, this next email is from Flower Lissa, and it says, what?
Lissa's in my alliance.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Lissa.
It says, I've been trying to get the old Guildcast series from iTunes, but I get a 404 error with the following details. That is actually a problem with... the old feed's not working. So what you can do, the best way to get the the old episodes is you go to guildcast.wordpress.com, and there's a little tab toward the top that says old episodes. And I recovered most of the show notes that I was able to find through Google searches. You know, I mean, archive.org saves all that stuff, thank God. And I went through and found all the old show notes. Well, I think most of them. I think there are a few that are missing. Because archive.org takes, like, samples of the internet every few months, and I think I missed a few, but so it's great. I mean, it's got all the episodes on there. Some of the listeners of Guildcast were kind enough to let me, you know, kind of upload them to my FTP, and then I was able to download them. So people who actually saved them and everything, so it was really great. So yeah, all these old episodes, every single one of them, even the video episode, are on guildcast.wordpress.com on the old episodes tab. It says, okay, anyway, keep going on this email. It says, on another note, I wanted to address what I heard somewhere about episode 17, or was it 16? Guild Wars 2 gameplay and whether it's something we haven't seen before. Of course, ArenaNet won't be inventing completely new ways to play in battle. However, what I'm expecting is a gameplay that puts mostly known elements together in a way that hasn't been done before. A good example would be the absence of loot slash kill stealing in the persistent world. Now, I haven't been... which we just talked about. Now, I haven't been playing many MMOs, but it's something I haven't heard of before. I know that public events, a.k.a. public quests, are something that was tried before. To get back to that point that was made, we have to be careful not to interpret the information that ArenaNet gave us. They said no healing class, but we may yet see a monk profession come out, though how they'll do that with one light scholar and two medium adventurers and one heavy soldier armor professions, I don't know. Basically talking about what they've revealed so far as light, medium, and heavy armor professions. And it goes on, it says, just as they said that Sorrow's Furnace would come out in summer of 2005, and it came out September 7th, and not June 21st, as the most vocal people expected. I won't assume that the individual elements of gameplay will be original. Hype and marketing tell us that the sum of the gameplay elements, though, should be a new experience. Keep up the good work, Flower Lissa.
She's so...
we actually did touch on a few of these, especially the loot kill stealing thing. That's something they said that they're going to eliminate, you know, with the way that loot distribution is done. Now, as far as the monk class, yeah, that's also something we've talked about. The fact that, hey, they could still have a monk profession because all they said was there's no dedicated healer, you know. So they could still have a monk, but it could just be doing something else. It could be protection, could be like a buffer. We don't know.
Could be kind of a ninja like my DDO monk.
Yeah.
My DDO monk, she punches things.
Yeah, and she flies through the air, the greatest of ease.
She totally does.
So, yeah, I would like to see that. And I think a lot of monk lovers, you know, there are some very dedicated monk players out there who would love to see that. I mean, I don't know how they'll feel about it being changed, but, you know, if they kept it as kind of a protector buffer, I don't see how that would be too much of a change, you know.
So. Now, see, come on, monks. Wouldn't it be nice to still be able to play your monk and not have the red bars fill 90% of your screen?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know what's funny is when I think of a monk, this is going to be horrible, but when I think of a monk that's like a buffer, like something else, like incorporating other elements and things like that, I always think of Avatar. That's the Last Airbender, not the 3D movie.
Okay, I was going, what?
No, yeah, because I always think of him as kind of, he's very acrobatic, and he uses the elements and everything, and it would be kind of a cool little class. But, I mean, I guess they have the elementalists to do that mostly. But.
Yay. Sorry, it's involuntary.
So, yeah, thank you for the email there, Lissa. That's very cool. Also, she wrote another one. She says, me again. This is like directly after the other one. As far as revealing something new at PAX Prime, I think that ArenaNet would love to do it. However, with Gamescom just a few weeks before, it doesn't make sense to not announce something there and wait for PAX Prime. So unless their relative positions in the convention's calendar are exchanged, I don't think we'll get a brand new, i.e. no teaser, nothing at Gamescom, information reveal at PAX Prime. So, in other words, she's agreeing with me, not you.
Yeah.
Okay, the email goes on. It says, and the new hero, and then in parentheses, heroine, If the transcription is correct, John Stoom said to Ravius that it might not be what we expect, not who we expect. Oh, okay, I see what they're saying. Not that they said what we expect, but who we expect. So we were probably interpreting that a little too, a little off on that, I think. But she says, not a Silvari, because they aren't born yet. We've got a Norn, a Char, and a Sura, more humans than we know what to do with, so what's left? A dragon? A siege turtle? Is there any faction for which we don't have a hero yet, or can you confirm with Ravius or the live team that it's really a what and not a who? I think I'm done emailing you for this week, Flower Lissa.
I want a siege turtle.
That'd as
be
a hero?
Awesome hero.
Well, yeah. It's like we were talking before, only if we can ride it, only if it's like a mount. That would be awesome.
There's a ladder there. There are ladders right there on the siege turtle. I think that's what we need.
And the storage. Think of the storage capacity.
Now I'm picturing lifting up the shell like the hood of a trunk.
That would be awesome.
Sticking things in there. All right.
So, but yeah, I think that's a good point. That, you know, we don't know if it's a what or a who, whom. You know, it hasn't, completely been addressed and officially confirmed. I mean, we get these little tidbits like that, and we kind of break them apart down to the word. And
oh yeah,
it's funny. I wonder if like John Stoom maybe reads this and he's like, "What?
Isn't it stummy?"
Yeah. But that's why they love us, right?
I hope
we're fanatics.
So. All right. Well, here's I'm gonna put in my prediction, and we have no advanced information on this or anything. Since we are looking at Guild Wars Beyond, I guess the Canthan stuff is going to be part of Guild Wars Beyond. We know there's some Canthan stuff coming up. I am going to vote that we get a new hero that comes over to Tyria from Cantha.
As
part of a lead-in to the Canthan stuff that's bridging us to Guild Wars 2.
Yeah, because actually the Canthan stuff is... they started talking about it recently, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
actually,
so,
what's funny, there was a survey that kind of indicated how... You know, what'd you think of the war in Krita? Because we're starting to look at the Canthan stuff. And then the very last question was like, and how do you guys feel about a party with 7 heroes? And every other question in the survey was like kicked aside.
Well, actually, didn't it say, how do you feel about a full party of heroes?
Yeah, it said 7 heroes.
Oh, it said 7? Okay. It
said 7.
Okay. So, yeah, that's, it's funny to see that and then think, wait a minute. Like, are they trying to say that we can completely solo this game again, like back in the early henchman days?
Back in the day.
I mean, I don't know. What do you feel about that?
You know, Elliot, that we work with at Massively, changed my mind. I started out going, this is completely stupid. If I wanted to play a single-player game, I would buy a single-player game. And then Elliot and I were talking about it, and he said, I can't repeat what he said, but he said, I like a game that does not care how I play their game as long as I play it. They let me do my thing.
Hmm.
So I think I'm on board with the option, and I was not before.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But you know what? I don't like it when people tell me how to play, and I shouldn't be telling you guys how to play.
And I think one of the biggest things about that too, you know, when Guild Wars came out, it had the ability to have henchmen, which everybody has now in all their games, that it was like, hey, you're not paying a sub fee, so you can play this as a single-player game if you want to. You know, you could play this like Dragon Age, where you can, you know, outfit your party with, you know, NPCs, mm-hmm. and you can't really argue about that because of the fact that it's, you know, there's no sub fee. You're not paying monthly to play by yourself, which is absolutely ridiculous. So,
yeah.
So if they continue that, I don't see anything wrong with playing with an all-hero group. I would love that. I would absolutely love that. Now, is it antisocial? Yes. But I don't have a problem with
that
either.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah, because it's like, exactly like Elliot said, you know, play the game how you want to. It opens it up to more people. When games force you to group, and you don't have 7 friends, you know, you're either forced to stick it out with people who don't know how to spell out the word you, or you're you're basically kind of have to look for a good guild and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I don't know. I don't think people should be punished for being kind of introverted. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For being misanthropes.
Yeah. Like me.
No, you're absolutely right. And Elliot was right, too. So I actually am willing in this case to eat my words and say that I was wrong on that.
Wow.
Because I logged into Guild Wars after that survey came up, and I was kind of seeing what the Alliance buzz was. Because that's one of the, I love our Alliance. We have some disagreements in Alliance chat that sort of make me want to punch people. But most of the time, there is some really, really good discussion. And I jumped in, and one guy, actually one of my guildies, was saying, everybody go to the survey, and everybody check that you really, really like the idea of a party of seven heroes. And I was like, all right, first of all, do not tell me how to fill out my survey. Second of all, I think that's a horrible idea. No, 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 no. And I was completely wrong. I guess I should tell him that at some point.
It's like, like after you die or something?
I'll leave him a note. You know, if he, you know what? I'll put a note on my front door. If he comes by and sees it, great.
And in the meantime, the mailman and the UPS guy will be very confused.
So anyway, that was, yeah, I think it could be a good option.
Yeah.
As long as I still have people to play with.
I'm glad you see it my way.
Well, now I've changed my mind again.
Okay, so let's go to this, I think this is the last email we have. It says, hey Sean, no mention of Ruby at all, which is awesome.
I love when people do that.
I love Guildcast and have been listening to you and Ruby for 18 episodes now. I noticed on the last episode you commented on the assassin and joked a little about his or her appearance in Guild Wars 2. Yeah, ripping on the assassin is kind of a tradition here in Guildcast.
For you.
I've been keeping up with Guild Wars 2 information on my own as well, and noticed in the first videos introducing Guild Wars 2 artwork, and it had the endings that teased Guild Wars Beyond. In that video, I noticed some artwork that has been used so far, and if they stay consistent, I think we could see the Assassin Mesmer and a Knight/Paladin class. Here are some of the images or a link to my Alliance's forum that have it posted as well. Now, these are the ones he has posted here are the ones that we talked about a few episodes back, where they have six pieces of concept art for different classes, and we've talked about all these, and we've kind of gone down the line on the ones that they've revealed so far, and then the ones that looks like are obvious that they will reveal next, like the Mesmer, and then there's kind of a double-sworded character that I guess could easily be an assassin. You know, he's kind of hunched over, he looks very, you know, I don't know, martial arts-like, and he looks like he could die easily, so... There it was. There was the assassin joke.
You just couldn't get out without it, could you?
No. he goes on and he says, I know there's a lot of info, but I thought that there might be some things you could have missed as you've done some research. Research? What? I don't do research. I just make it up as I go along. He says, if anything, it is dang near everything released on Guild Wars 2 up to date. Anyway, again, I love the show and keep up the good work. Yeah, thanks for writing in. I mean, that was, like I said, that was something, you know, we did talk about before, but it's always up for speculation, especially until we get those, you know, all of the class reveals. And I think it's interesting, too, that there are six of them.
Mysterious. I don't know. I'm trying very hard not to speculate on that.
Yeah. Again. So, yeah, I think that was pretty much all the emails we had this time. And, again, write in, send us emails about your kind of your thoughts on this whole, you know, item shop thing. And, you know, I want to know, what would you pay for? Would you pay more than a subscription fee every month if it came down to it, you know, if it came to $10 an outfit, things like that? And just what you think of that whole thing overall, you know, as far as Guild Wars making money off of its players like that. So yeah, write in to Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at guildcast.com, or Ruby, R-U-B-I, at guildcast.com, and check out the show notes for this show and all other shows, plus the old episodes, over at guildcast.wordpress.com. Check out our Twitter and Facebook pages. Usually on Twitter, I'll announce when the new show comes up, like seconds after, if you want to jump on that, you know, as soon as it comes out. And Facebook, we have a nice little group going on there as well. And I believe that's it. So hopefully next week we get a Mesmer class reveal. Am I right?
Cross our fingers. Thing. You're just waiting on that.
So until that Mesmer class reveal, or at least until next Friday.
I hope it's an assassin.
This is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll talk to you then.
I think that should be in the outtakes, you blowing your nose.